The Lord be with you.
With your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, I have come to set the earth on fire, and how I wish it were already blazing. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. Do you think that I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, a household of five will be divided, three against two and two against three. A father will be divided against his son, and a son against his father. A mother against her daughter, and a daughter against her mother. A mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. The Gospel of the Lord. My dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, it is one of those days when all of us would like to sleep in a little longer. Because difficult reading, isn't it? You wonder if Jesus said the same thing or Father is making it up. It is like the guy who said he wouldn't wake up that morning. His mother went to wake him up and said, Mom, I don't want to get up. He said, today is Sunday. You've got to go for service. He said, Mom, but I don't feel like it. But you've got to go. He said, I don't even like those people in that church. And I said, but you've got to be there. It's important. He said, they don't like me too. That Sunday is an important day for you. Get up. Mom, give me one reason I should go to church. She said, I'll give you two reasons. First is, you are 45 years old. And second is, you are the pastor of that church. So this is what I felt this morning. Well, we wonder whether Jesus said these words today about division, about whether he's come not to bring peace, but rather division. You look at the same Jesus who said some beautiful words before he was crucified at the Last Supper. He said, peace I leave with you, and peace I give you. A peace the world cannot give, this is my gift to you. And after the resurrection, he says, peace be with you. So are these words that Jesus says today in the gospel, do you suppose that I am here to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. Apart from a shock, it also seems to be like a contradiction. But as the second reading tells us, be fixed on our gaze upon Jesus. And then we'll understand. When we fix our gaze on Jesus and see the Jesus of the Gospels, we know that he was not a wishy-washy person. He was not there to please others. He was not afraid when people around stood and said, let's attack him, let's see where he goes wrong. He was there to proclaim the message at all costs. He was not just distributing pamphlets in a street corner. He was living, breathing, walking, sleeping, his mission. And his mission was to reveal the truth about God at all costs, regardless of what people think or feel about him. And he knew the consequences of this was the cross. And he was never afraid of it. So at any cost, he would reveal this truth. And he would tell people and manifest in word and deed that God is love. And that he loves even the smallest, the weakest, the least in this kingdom. He faced opposition for it, and ultimately the cross. In our first reading, Jeremiah faces opposition, ridicule from the princes of the world. If it wasn't for Ebed-Melech, he would be done away with by the people and the leaders of his time. We know that even in our own homes, we have sometimes people who believe and don't believe. So division seems to be part of our Christian faith and belief. But we must notice once again that the Lord is not out to put people fighting, especially families. He's simply saying that the Christian message, in all its truth, of its very nature, is bound to provoke. It's bound to bring opposition even in families. And he's saying that as well, that if you want to be a follower of mine, you have to do it out of courage and out of conviction. You have to have the guts to follow completely in the path that I have shown you. The central part of Christian message doesn't really affect us. We say we believe, at least in theory. And the central part is when the Lord said, love one another as I have loved you. Most of us say yes, at least in theory, that we should love one another. But let's go deeper into what the Lord tells us each time. When he says love our enemies, not all of us are convinced about it. Once again, maybe in theory, but not in practice. It's not so easy. When he says we should not kill, that even the innocent human life should not be harmed. Do not harm the little ones. Still, we ignore it in this world today when we terminate life in the womb. When he tells us to reconcile first before we offer our gifts at the altar, we still keep away the message. We are more comfortable being here with Jesus rather than reconcile with somebody. We can attend all the masses that are there offered today, but it's so difficult to take that step to reconcile with someone, especially in our own homes. When he says, he urges us rather to celebrate the Eucharist because this is my body and blood, do we have the same enthusiasm that he urged his first disciples? Take and eat, this is my body. And we would find it difficult to do it in a regular basis anyway. The fact is that certain aspects of our Christian teaching gives rise to dissent within ourselves and dissension between people. We can't say there are particular generations, dissent or dissension in a particular generation, but normally we have these aspects of tension between, say, the elders, the seniors, parents, and children on various bases, because we belong to those days and we are not happy with these days. We are not happy with children's choices, the company they keep, lifestyle choices that they make, and even their attendance at Sunday Mass. So there could be tension between parents and especially with grown-up children. So should parents compromise? Should we compromise on such aspects as to please our children? If we believe in Christ's teaching as mediated and given to us in the scripture and the church, I don't think we should compromise with anybody. We hold the Christian tradition as we have received it. We hold it in faith. We also hold it in love. Because we believe certain aspects of the church should be held on firmly, but we do so in compassion and love. We believe that if we have to worship as a community, the importance of Sunday Mass. We believe that sexual relations are meant for marriage. We believe confession and reconciliation is an important aspect for the growth of the community, especially for its healing. So if our children reject our beliefs, we don't respond by rejecting our children, because we ourselves have too many faults so that to be dismissive of others. We are not perfect people who have followed Christ and received tradition. We too are struggling with some of the beliefs. There is a struggle even in each one of us. But if we do have conviction, it should be done with compassion. If we have conviction, it should be done with understanding. If we have conviction, it should be done with love, tough love. If we have conviction, it must be done with humility. Sure, we stick to our guns, but don't go shooting people down. And young people here, I'm sure there are a lot of young people here, a final word for you. Yeah, we have entered into the third millennium. This is the 3,000th year of Christianity. 2033, we'll have the great jubilee, celebrating the great jubilee of Jesus, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, and Pentecost. It's a beautiful occasion for the church to review itself. It has stood the test of time. So we have the momentum of all those years that have gone by, and that has been the test of community and faith and church. But the momentum is no guarantee for continuity. And that is why we need you young people here to continue the church today. The growth of Christianity, the further spreading of the good news, is a joint effort, a generous cooperation of individuals in each community. And so much depends on the young to carry on this with the older generation, the middle-aged members, and all those who are ready to contribute to the church. Remember, Jesus was a young man who gave birth to the church. He was courageous and made a difference to the whole world. We can't keep our contributions and our giving to the church as part of a retirement plan. We need to do it now. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Jesus tells and speaks to us in the present tense. So be conscious of our responsibility. Be conscious, young people, of your responsibility. In Olympic terms, it says, the baton has been passed on to you. Run as far as you can with the baton and share this faith with others. You're not just carrying a set of beliefs and a set of values only with you. It's very important. But the biggest part of Christianity is that your love and respect for a person. And that is what we carry. So be faithful to Jesus Christ. Be part of his community. Have the courage of your convictions. Even if you meet ridicule, opposition, on occasions, scorn. Because when Christ says, come after me, he is not saying it to an ancient people. He is saying it to you and me. He is calling you now at the turning of time. So be generous in your response. Stand on your own two feet in your commitment to him. But stand also on the shoulders of those who have gone before you and carry out their good work. The church needs young people. The church needs to be young again. Amen.